Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
It should be a dirge, you know. It's so disappointed after the euphoria of last week. Nevertheless, this is the Manchester United we've had to learn to become accustomed to. Welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. Just to remind you, we are sponsored by Ladbrokes, and you can get free bets if you go to bet.unitedredcast.com. My name's Eddie Nesta. Dan Riley is opposite me. How are you, Dan?
I'm okay, Ed. Not too ebullient. Disappointed after yesterday. It was just a bit of a slight anticlimax after the brilliant comeback from the week before. You thought we might have kind of taken that momentum, brought that into this game, and hopefully brought that forward. But it was all a bit.
Psychology is really important. And up until Pogba scored the two goals against Manchester City, he was having a diabolical game, a difficult game, a challenging game. And once you score, that always goes away. Didn't we just go back, actually yesterday, to the first half against Manchester City?
Last two games, we've played one half, one decent half of football. The rest of it has been exceptionally ordinary. I will say one thing. In trying to sort of not be too... football is very much fine lines. And not an excuse, but we should have had a penalty. And had we had that penalty, it's one of those games where it could go the other way. However, we didn't get that penalty in countless other games. We've had decisions that we shouldn't have got. Even though West Brom are bottom, the Premier League is one of those competitions where if you don't score early and get on top early, the longer the game goes on, the more the opposition feel buoyed and feel you're equal. And I mean, West Brom were very good yesterday.
Yeah, been our bogey team, really. We remember what was it 5-5 Fergie's last game, if my memory serves me right. Lukaku was playing there.
Yeah,
if you're playing at home after you've beaten Man City, okay, getting ready for the match against Tottenham, what do we play? One strike? Was it to Lukaku? Why not go in there with pace? Why not attack them?
I don't think the Lukaku, I think, was criticised again yesterday, but the whole system was completely against the way we should set up when he's playing. There was no width. It was all trying to be through the middle, and you can't play that with him. And he was kept receiving the ball with his back to goal. You've got to play balls through for him. There was, I think, one time it was played through. A little pass from Herrera. Unfortunately, he miscontrolled it. He'll get stick for that. I don't understand why. He's still young. But if you play...
You can't talk about him like that. He's not the young Lukaku who Chelsea let go. He's not the developing Lukaku who was at Everton or the one that was at West Brom. we have spent £90 million on the article.
But he's not the finished article.
Well, he plays every game. They but give him not, support.
But he's not, yeah. This is the problem. I think that the team, I mean, Alexis again yesterday, strange performance.
What is he exactly? I don't mean it as facetiously as it sounds.
No.
What is he? Because you've got him and Mata now in the same game.
Yeah.
So what is he?
Well, he's been playing sort of as a 10. Not quite sure exactly if Mourinho knows where to put him. I have to say I was someone that sort of was excited by his signing. Kind of with hindsight now, it feels a little bit like possibly he wasn't quite what we
What is it? Well, again, I'm going to ask you again.
I don't.
Because if you look at him, he's not a Suarez. He's not a Tevez. He's not an Aguero. So you wouldn't look at, not in the way that he's set up against for Man United, as an out-and-out striker. So I'll ask you again, what is he?
I think his best position is probably on the left of a three. But we don't seem to have played that. I think the problem at the moment is Mourinho doesn't quite seem to know what his ideal starting lineup is.
Or Dan, sorry to interrupt you. Or he did a Guardiola and he thinks, we're at home, we've lost one game at home, we've had clean sheets at home, we're nailed on to win it, therefore I can play any flaming team I like.
Getting the defeat yesterday doesn't worry me as much as what worries me more looking forward is I don't know what our pattern of play is. I don't know what our style of play is.
Identity.
It seems a bit ad hoc. It just seems like I'll pick a team and out you go. I think he's very good at knowing how to set up a team to defend. I just don't know if he's that good at setting up a team to attack. Hence why when we play the lesser teams, we've struggled. Our record against the good teams is good because the good teams, the stronger teams, to use a better term, will attack us. And hence the Arsenal game away, the 3-1. They came at us. We were able to then counter-attack. Liverpool we've beaten.
Man City we beat
last week. When a team sets up just to stop us, as West Brom did yesterday, we always seem to struggle.
Which is why I was surprised that he doesn't go for Martial and Rashford. I mean, even if it's just to keep their morale up, the kids.
I agree.
More and more stories in the papers about Rashford going. They don't happen by accident. There's something. More and more stories about Martial.
It was going. Unusual. I thought yesterday would have been the perfect time to put either of them, either side of...
Player three,
either side. Or even just play one of them and have one of them on the bench.
Yeah, but it was interesting because technically we had a kind of two-man holding midfield. I'm not sure where Pogba was supposed to be playing, but it looked like he was playing with Matic. But and Mata and Sanchez just in front. And then you've got the two, well, they're supposed to be wing-backs, but they're actually full-backs, weren't they, in Young and Tito. So I got a bit confused as to exactly what was going on, how we were going to respond, what was going to happen. All the attempts at goal seemed to go the same place. We didn't see Valencia try to run past anybody. He got to somebody and stopped.
The crossing was really poor. The crossing seems to be from strange positions, almost aimless, but too easy to defend against. If you're going to play if a team like West Brom's coming and they're going to and you know they're going to sit, then you have to have someone, surely, that's going to go in behind them and
make the runs.
And you know, that would have been Rashford.
Well, you say that, but there were so many times where it seemed to be Pogba, Mata, and Sanchez almost standing on each other's toes. They're like, no space. You're playing this ping pong thing, but with no aim and no purpose. And having said all of that, it does make sense to me. because what's the point in beating West Brom? We are top four. We're going to be in the top three. And actually, we will say be able to say we've progressed, because we will have, for the first time since Sir Alex, legitimately qualified for the Champions League. And it is interesting, isn't it? Qualifying for the Champions League now more important than winning FA Cup, sorry, Europa Cup. So it's interesting how all of that works, isn't it, now? I think that Mourinho has a definite job. He's got to get rid of a lot of players.
I mean, there's still a lot of, you know,
money.
There's still a lot of players there that make up this, that comprise the squad, that I don't think he's happy with.
Shaw's going. Do you want Rose? Let me give some deals for you, because you seem a little reticent today. Shaw's going. Do you want Rose?
Yes. I mean,
so you,
well,
was that a straight swap for you?
I think
29 years old.
We've
also got the option on Willian, 29 years old.
Yeah. I think I said to Willian, like,
a long time,
well, maybe not that long ago.
Energy wise, he doesn't ever stop trying, does he? You know why Tottenham wanted him there.
It's a strange one, though, because we talk about players, and we seem to play so many systems and so many players in different positions. I don't quite know if someone's coming in, like, who's going where. That, I think, is the problem with United. If you said that Liverpool were going to lose Salah, you kind of feel that they bring in someone to replace Salah.
Where they lost their best player and got better as a team, which means that a coach makes your team more than the sum of its individual parts. I can't say how many players have been made better by employing Jose Mourinho. That's my worry.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll talk about players that perhaps stay and the ones that go when we come right back. This is the Manchester United podcast. My name's Eddie, his name is Dan, and we'll be back after these.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast. Before we go to talk about the game against Tottenham at their home ground, did I say that? Before we talk about that, let's finish off talking about what are inevitable changes. There are changes coming. We haven't seen Rojo this year. Darmian, he clearly doesn't fancy. We know Luke Shaw's on his way because he's done everything to destabilise, demoralise that kid. Martial, body language tells me, I don't want to be here. I came in as a big shot, 30 million, 19-year-old, and I'm here at 22 as a bit part player, and it doesn't look as though he fancies me to do the job that I want to do. Young has got a contract for another year, but he isn't the long-term future. Matic, Mata, well, he sold him once. Who's to say he won't sell him again? There'll be a lot of movement from Manchester United.
I think we're going to have to look at it in terms of realistically, who's he going to be able to get out of the door, and who's he going to be able to bring in? I don't quite think the fat lady has sung for Martial. I still think that he could become the left-sided attacking force.
But I don't doubt it, but it looks to me like it won't be Mourinho's choice.
Well,
it is.
I don't know about that. I'm not entirely convinced. I still think we have a problem with width on the right. We never seem to play, Valencia plays, but there doesn't seem to be much other width on the right-hand side, no matter who plays. If it's Mata, Mata's always kind
coming
of
in.
Tucking in.
Always.
There doesn't seem to be much going on that right. I mean, Perisic was wanted. Whether or not there's going to be another possible, because I think Perisic is probably, that ship has probably sailed now. I think right-sided winger midfielder. I think we're going to require another holding type player to replace Carrick's position in the squad.
What about the boy from Tottenham? Now, I mean, I know I've talked to you about Danny Rose already.
Dyer.
The boy that can't get the contract. We've got an issue with his, what is his name? He can't get in there. He's a central defender.
Oh, Alderweireld.
Yes.
Yeah, Alderweireld I'd take in a heartbeat.
He's going to be available.
I think he's very good. I mean, who would go out of...
They want Luke Shaw. So you've got... They want him. He's worked with him before at Southampton.
Mm.
Pochettino was going to want to work with kids because he can pay him a little less. Mm. Well, I suppose, no, I say that. Luke Shaw would have to take a cut in salary, wouldn't he?
Well, if Alderweireld comes in, who replaces... Who does he replace in the squad?
I mean, my instinct tells me, it's not my choice, I'm just telling you what my instinct tells me, that the manager fancies, when he's fit, Jones
mm-hmm.
ahead of Smalling.
Yes.
So...
Well, I'd go with that. I'd go with, if we were to have Jones, Bailey, new defender, Alderweireld, for example, and Lindelof, I'd be happy with that as a quartet.
Would you take the boy back, Fosu-Mensah?
Yes, absolutely. I'd take him back in the squad. He should certainly be back in the squad. I think he can offer an alternative at fullback because Darmian seems to be out of favour. So we don't really have... Because Darmian's also always been playing at left back.
You've got rid of Darmian...
If Darmian and Shaw and Smalling go,
you got rid of three.
Then
you've done well. That's a few quid. It is a few quid. Yeah. I mean, that's the way he's going to look at it. In his second spell at Chelsea, he got more money, and then the other
player to remember is Tuazebe or Tuanzebe.
Yeah,
sorry. He's looked very good in the times he's sort of come in and stepped in. Will he be given,
McTominay, those guys, we don't know, do we? Because people come in for a minute, they look like they're going to, Yanazai, you know, we've had a few, McCabe.
Where's he, by the way?
Well, he went to Sunderland and he's now gone somewhere else. Yeah. He's not in England anymore. It's amazing. That's how quickly it changes. And I'm guessing that at some point, Martial's agent, Rashford's agent's going to go, we can get you a game. We can get you a game in a top eight club. They would take you in a heartbeat. With the kind of money that's going for, you know, the kids now, what's Rashford worth? What's Martial worth? They're worth good money.
Mm.
So if he doesn't fancy him, let him go. Pogba,
I mean,
he doesn't seem to fancy. Pogba, worth good money. You know, there are a lot of players there worth good money.
What do you think about, there's been talk of Bale, isn't there? For me, I think this is
my instinct is that conversation's been going on for 2 or 3 years now. Bale will see any move from Real Madrid, back-to-back Champions League winners, he will see any move from there as a downward move. I hate to say it, I still think of our club as being the biggest club in the world, but as we've just about to qualify for the first time in 5 or 6 legitimately from the Champions League against a team that's won back-to-back Champions Leagues, we don't really compare.
Yeah.
But with an ageing Ronaldo at 33, they're going to have to rebalance their team. And they're going to have to do it with people like...
I'd probably take an ageing Ronaldo at 33.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, just amazing.
I'm half joking, but I mean, I remember a few years ago when we were linked with him and people were going, oh, he's too old. When Moyes was linked with him, people were saying he's too old.
And then we brought an even older Ibra. Ibra came and scored 30-odd goals, mate.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're talking about... He's not got the blistering pace anymore, but he'll sit at the head of a diamond and do what you want.
But I don't think it's at the back is our problem, Eddie. I think the problem is...
Creative midfield?
We don't know. We don't have... I don't think we have a player that can pick the ball up and break the lines. Well, we do actually. We have Pogba, but he doesn't seem to have been given that freedom. I wonder whether Pogba just needs to be given total freedom of any defensive midfield responsibility
and
played much further forward.
How do you do that when in the team is a man earning £400,000 a week and who is a talisman but gives the ball away 30 times every game?
Mm.
You can't have two players doing that. Sanchez and Pogba's your box-to-box midfielder, I accept it. And when he plays properly, he plays like a boss, controls the game in a way that...
Well, we've yet... I've seen... In defence of Pogba, I've seen Pogba dominate games more for us than Sanchez has so far. I've seen Sanchez dominate those games for Arsenal. He's still yet to do that for us. I'm not getting on his back, because I think he still needs. You still have to kind of.
Can they play in the same team? Is the question.
Though. Yes, I think they can.
Because he's going to. In order for Manchester United to come anywhere near giving Man City a challenge next year. Mm. They are going to have to find a way to play in the same team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so look, let's look ahead to Tottenham Hotspur, who will be... well, apparently we're in a home dressing room. They're in the away one. Why didn't we play that at Cardiff? I don't know. But the pressure's on both teams, isn't it? I mean, both teams. I mean, you've got three teams in there who desperately... not want to, need to win it. Chelsea need to win it, Man United we need to win it, and Tottenham need to win it.
I mean, strangely, the pressure seems to be all on us. If you, because...
we're a big team, Tottenham.
Darlings of the media, as I like to call them, Tottenham. I think if Tottenham were to lose the semi-final and still get top four, they would... you know, that would be considered a good season for them.
I think on one level, but I think that everybody must be aware of a pricing structure that sees Daniel Levy earning £6 million a year, probably around or just over what Harry Kane, as one of the top strikers in Europe, earned. They will have seen Kyle Walker leave there as a 28-year-old, go to Man City for big money, earn double the money that he was earning, and now be part of winning definitely a double this year in terms of what's going on. The dressing room will be like anywhere else.
A double of sorts, I'll say.
It's a double. It's not the double. I accept that. But we'd take that, wouldn't we?
We would. I think...
Danny Rose wants to go. We all know it.
Yeah.
You know, how long are they going to keep Christiansen there for? When's Harry going to go, well, you know, I'm one of your own, but actually, I'm not winning anything here. There's no expectation of us to win anything.
Well, it would be interesting. I mean, if we lose, obviously, the pressure will heap on Mourinho. There will be questions asked. However, the fact is, we have got better.
Yes.
We have got better.
Yeah.
Now,
best of the rest.
The problem is, I think a lot of poor-ish performances in terms of style have overshadowed the points tally. I think we've been so spoilt pre-Moyes, you know, anything Fergie is, that people sort of, I think, maybe have lost sight of the fact that other teams
have got better.
But also, down the years, other teams have ground out victories. You that kind of happens. I'm sure it happens. You know, when we watch our own team, we don't have the encyclopedic knowledge of other teams, so we kind of tend to maybe live in a slightly fantasy land that everyone else is playing amazing football all of the time, when they're not. They're, you know, we kind of see match of the day and we think it's all at that level all the time, and it's not. I think we have to realise there is a transition period. I think this season
we're 5 or 6 years into it though.
No, but we're only 2 years into Mourinho is what I'm saying, and he did win us a Europa League and a League Cup. We are still in the FA Cup. If we win on Sunday, I mean, if he brings the FA Cup, you can't say he hasn't. But he hasn't done a good job.
I think it's style over substance. I think everybody would say yes, he's progressed.
Or substance over style, even.
Well, no. Well, yeah, I suppose. But they want to see us playing. I think they'd be happy for us to come fifth. Nobody complains about the way Liverpool play. They have an identity. They're exciting. And just forget for a second they're in a semi-final of the Champions League.
But they would, Eddie. They would be complaining if they weren't in the Champions League.
You think so?
100% they would. Okay. I've heard Liverpool fans arguing that, you know, Klopp hasn't won enough. I mean, this is the fine line. Football is such on a fine line these days. If Liverpool go out to City in the Champions League, then the rest of their season is essentially battling for a fourth place. They still might go out.
Chelsea and Arsenal would take that.
Chelsea and Arsenal, of course, would take that.
They'd take that. You've got six clubs battling for four positions. It doesn't work. Not everybody could.
But if we beat Tottenham, if we beat Tottenham and we get to the FA Cup final, then I think the... And we come second. I think, for me, the only major criticism... And I'm even talking about if we lose the cup final, because, I mean, it's like, you know, if you get to a cup final and you lose it, it's anyone's game on the day. The big criticism I would level at Mourinho is the Sevilla game. I think that was... I just think it was massive...
And the first game against Liverpool.
I think they were massive ricks. I also think, to an extent, the Man City game at home... I think we were 2-1, wasn't it? We'd done the
4-1s before that.
But the way we went, the way we set up. I think that what he has to know, what he has to learn from, is that sometimes you have to get on the front foot. And I think that's what United fans, I don't think, are stupid enough to realise you go hell for leather every game. Because not even Fergie did that in the later years. But there are games when you have to go for it. And the Sevilla game, I mean, look how the Champions League has opened up. If we'd have just got through that game, who knows? And I hope that he's learned from that and realised sometimes you have to play, you have to be less cautious. But he is, by his default, he is a cautious man. And I think that's what you pay. When you get a character like him, and let's face it, people talking about getting rid of him, who do you bring in? At the moment, I just don't know who you bring in. That's why I think you have to stick with him and see what happens in the third season. Can he bring in the required personnel that he believes can take us further forward and compete with City? We'll see.
Will we win against Tottenham?
In a way, I'm glad we lost the league game against Tottenham, because I think if we'd have won that game, we might have gone into this game being a little bit too cocksure, thinking we've got their number. Hopefully, Mourinho has a plan for them, because he is very good at coming up with ways of beating teams in a way that Benitez was very good at doing that with Liverpool, when Liverpool almost became a bit of a cup team. He would always have something, and let's see if he's got something for Tottenham, because I went to the game up there and we weren't actually that bad, funnily enough, but
we were missing a couple of players.
The early goal killed us. It was a strange one. I mean, when you concede after 20 seconds, it's a strange situation. I think it'll be interesting to see what he plays. It's whether or not, at the end of the day, pardon the cliche, it's whether those players are up for it. And they were up for it in the second half against City. I sometimes feel we have to be knocked back to knock down to get up. The Palace game was a perfect example where, as soon as we went behind in that game, we started to play.
I think,
and it's like we need to be poked and prodded and goaded into playing the way we can play.
Let's hope the stick has worked on the beer, and we will be doing the business to Tottenham Hotspur, because I can't take the absolute mauling that I'd receive if we lost to them. Dan, listen, magnificent, mate, as always. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Until next week. So it's semi-finals of the FA Cup, Manchester United versus Tottenham Hotspur. Until we see you next week, come on, you Reds.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
This is the Manchester United Redcast. It's back for this season by Ladbrokes.
If you're a large organisation involved in managing, purchasing or making decisions on software licences, you need Livingston. Livingston provides the technology and a large team of experts to help you understand what software is installed on your network, who is using it and whether you purchase the right number of software licences to legally use it. This information can help you make smart business decisions when it comes to renegotiating software licensing agreements with large software publishers like Microsoft, Oracle, IBM and others, and when budgeting for software spend. To reduce the cost and risk of managing your software licenses, speak to Livingston today about our managed services. Over 50 multinationals across the world trust Livingston to manage their software licenses. Visit livingston-tech.com for more information.
What's your thoughts on Fulham? Chances are you don't think about them too much, but nice away day by the river, used to have a Michael Jackson statue, and once did quite well under Roy Hodgson. But that's probably about it, because chances are you're not a Fulham fan. However, if you do know someone that supports Fulham, maybe a mate or a colleague at work, please tell them about the Fulhamish podcast that I host every week, looking at each Fulham game as it comes and goes, with a nice bit of quirkiness and humour along the way too. You can find Fulhamish at fulhamish.co.uk, and we're also available on all podcast platforms, including iTunes, Acast and playbackmedia.co.uk. That's Fulhamish, your weekly independent Fulham FC podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.